Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 24, the stanzas 1 and 2. Who, O Lord, with thee abiding, in thy house shall be thy guest. Who was feet to Zion turning, in thy holy hill shall rest. And what follows, Psalter 24, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 5. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Zechariah 5. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth, for every one that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it, and every one that sweareth shall be cut off, as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephod that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. And then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whether do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when for the second time on this Lord's Day we and our dear children may gather together within the walls of thy house, and when by renewal we attempt to call upon thy most holy name, to come with our blessings, our needs, our desires, troubles, and our sins. And may it please thee to grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. May we be administered out of the fullness of thy dear Son, who sitteth at thy right hand, and whom thou always heareth. And then the temporal needs, they are also manifold, can be so great, can be so overwhelming. There can be those hidden needs that very few know of. But the greatest need is the need of our never-dying soul, because we need a God for our heart, a Savior for our soul, a surety for our guilt. We need a passport to enter heaven. And thou granteth those blessings by word and by spirit, our Lord. May it please thee to do it in this evening hour. Thou knowest how that each has come up to thy house in this evening hour. Thou knowest the particular requests, and may there have been those particular requests, a little begging at thy throne, and asking for thy special presence and thy wonderful works. Ah, Lord, it all must come from above. But thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. And may it please thee to do it indeed in this evening hour, that thy word may be richly blessed for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Oh, do convert what is unconverted, uncover false foundations, and remember thy Zion. Do bless thy word richly amongst us in the church. Bless the labors on the Lord's Day. Remember the confession of faith class, the catechism classes, and the manifold labors in thy church. It all awaits upon thy blessing. Wilt thou remember the male members meeting that has been planned for this week, where it concerns the offices, different positions, the gold and the silver, but also a sanctuary. May it please thee, Lord, to lead, to guide, and remember us with thy special favor, and grandsires at the throne of grace. Bless thy word in the family circles. Continue to help fathers and mothers to that end. Remember our Christian school. 4 days left in this year. Wilt thou help and remember those 4 days, traveling mercies, instructors and students, and do remember and help the school board when they hope to meet in this week. O, we commend unto thee thy church, our theological school, wherein this week midterm exams shall be held. Wilt thou help and remember students and instructors, and do add thy blessing. And remember the manifold needs for labors in the Christian schools and labors in thy vineyard. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. Their Sabbath day is already past, and thou knowest what they have all experienced. Ah, Lord, what a privilege that in this dark and evil time we may so freely come up to thy courts. We lay before thee the manifold needs of the Jewish nation and people, the midst of all the enmity, but above all spiritually, that the veil may be hastily removed. Mission work, our mission field, thy servant, the team, the family circles, and that people in Peru, may it please thee to provide for them, that a heart may be inclined. Remember Bible translators and those that bring thy word to the end of the earth. Remember our country, federally, provincially. Remember our town, the town council, and may it please thee to work mightily and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in our community. Remember the many temporal needs and also the many blessings, wherein the day of tomorrow, a couple, an old couple, hope to erect the special Ebenezer to reach a special milestone, that they may travel together for 60 years on the pathway of holy matrimony. An empty place has come in the family circle. Nevertheless, grant them a humble and a broken heart, and above all that one thing needful for their never-dying soul. We remember all our elderly members. Remember our Bethesda, all the residents, and all those that may lovingly care for them. We remember the sick and afflicted, the handicapped ones, those undergoing treatments. Remember the difficulties of the mind, scars, crosses, and burdens. It is all known unto thee. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we humbly beg of thee for thy help, because each time is a new time. And may our help simply be in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, those lawfully hindered from dwelling to dwelling, and crown thy holy word with thy richest blessing, and grant an impression no rites forfeited sinned away, but, O Lord, thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. Ah, then mightily glorify thy great and worthy name in the midst of us and our children, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 5, 8, and 9. O, teach me, Lord, the way that I should go, and then shall thy servant walk therein forever. Give understanding all thy paths to know, then shall I keep thy law with zealous fervor. And what follows, 428, the stanzas 5, 8, and 9.
Thank you.
in this evening hour. With the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 37, the question and answers 101 and 102. Question 101. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Answer, yes. Either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. For such an oath is founded on God's word, and therefore was justly used by the saints, both in the Old and New Testament. Question 102. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? Answered, no. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Lord's Day 37 speaks of the swearing of a religious oath. Three thoughts. First, when we may swear an oath. Secondly, the biblical examples of the oath. And in the third place, how we must swear the oath. The swearing of a religious oath. When we may swear, the biblical examples, and how we must swear the oath. Beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day, we have heard of the third commandment, that we may not use the name of the Lord in vain. We have heard it also, that commandment, exceeding broad in the context. It is in the part of gratitude for the child of God, for examination, further uncovering, to be ashamed, to be humbled, and to flee to that precious blood. Then the instructors, they have also devoted a Lord's Day to the swearing of a religious oath, because a lawful oath is a calling upon the Lord as the only one who knows the heart. And then in this evening hour, when we consider this Lord's Day, then it is a fitting Lord's Day of preparation, when the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered the coming Lord's Day. The Lord, remember all the mourning families in our midst, and also to mourning families who had hoped expected formerly to also to present a little child. The Lord's ways have been different. They were called upon with a premature birth to go to the cemetery. Oh, when the Lord has spared us all this year, may we be given more to pause and to consider the goodness of the Lord. And then the first question in this Lord's Day, and that is a question concerning the Anabaptists. They have arisen in the time of Zwingli, approximately 1520, 1525, and the Anabaptists with the many offshoots. Then their different heirs have crept in. Does not mean that among that people there was or is not a remnant. The Lord knoweth who are his, but they were given to heir. There were those, and we repeated among them many different offshoots. And of course, when we think of the strict Baptists, then we love their experiential religion. Nevertheless, in the time of the Reformation, there were those that have overstressed, not that we can overstress, the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, but they have placed such a focus on the Spirit, the inner man, and the inner light, and they have separated it from the Word of God. And so many have went astray. And there were those that have made a very vivid separation between their temporal life and spiritual life. Do we also do that, perhaps? That we separate our religious life, the Lord's Day, from our temporal life. Also among the Anabaptists, they have separated the Old and the New Testament in the manner that the Lord works in the midst of his church. In the Old Testament, the external administration of the covenant, but there were those that have said, now the New Testament, and now the Lord works in a different way, also needed it, because we know among the Baptist movement, then they are against infant baptism, and they stress adult baptism. And now concerning that separation of their temporal and spiritual life, to that end, they would not take a position of government because they said that belongs to the temporal life and the church is spiritual. And then further, they would refuse to join the army and fight for their country, and also refuse to swear an oath. And yet concerning our country, There are many that come from the Anabaptist movement, and that have fled countries where there was bitter persecution, and they have come to North America, where they may enjoy the liberties, where for many soldiers have given their blood and their life, but yet refuse to fight for the country. To that end, on Remembrance Day, with the ceremony at the cenotaph, then you shall not see Mennonites or Hutterites. And now the Anabaptists, they have also refused to swear an oath. They have their texts, Matthew 5 and then James, and it is true. Let her yea be yea, and her no be no. And concerning swearing, already mentioned in Lord's Day number 36, then we may never swear unnecessarily, may never swear an oath lightly, irreverently, proudly, or deceitfully. When we read in this Lord's Day to swear an oath religiously, that means in a God-fearing way, and that there needs to be an oath in society. That is an accusation against us. Because in paradise, there was not a need of an oath. The Lord has created Adam in his image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Thus, the swearing of an oath, necessary, profitable, and then with the swearing of an oath, then it is so necessary that we have profound impressions what the swearing of an oath really is. May the Lord grant it to parents the coming Lord's Day in congregation. Then in this evening, you must not only listen for them, but we all need to listen oaths that are swore in the church, public confession of faith, marriage, office bearers, the sacrament of holy baptism. Then the question could be asked, to give an example concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. There it is not specifically stated concerning an oath, but there is asked to promise. And yet, because that promise is made in God's house, where he has promised to dwell, his special presence, the midst of the congregation, the holy angels present, and then it is an oath which is made in a special way before the Lord, who is the searcher of hearts and who knoweth all things. To that end, what a solemn text is written in Psalm 78, the verses 36 and 37 concerning the children of Israel. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in the covenant. Then the church was at a very low ebb. When oaths are made so easily, so lightly, even deceitfully, we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, that the judgments begin at the house of God. May we then swear religiously in the name of God. Yes, either when the magistrate demands it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth. And then we may speak of two kinds of oaths, promissory and assertory. Concerning the first, that is asked by the government for different positions, and the church concerning the offices, that there may be promised to be truthfulness and faithfulness, to bind us to the Lord and to His word. The assertory, and that refers more to the courts. When a case appears before the court, then there is asked that truth and nothing but the truth as shall be spoken in the way of an oath. In that respect, we live in sad times. In former times, was always with the Bible. 2017, when President Donald Trump, has taken upon his office, then there were only even two Bibles present. The Bible of his mother and the Bible of Abraham Lincoln. Of course, that is not the most important which Bible. But it was stressed that it was an oath made with the word of God present. An atheist, of course, they will not swear an oath, only make a promise. And concerning the courtroom, then how important that the truth, and nothing but the truth, not only in the courtroom, needs to be truth in society. Otherwise, society cannot function, the business world cannot function, but especially in the courtroom, when there are false oaths made, then it has an effect. The jury, when there is one, the judge, the accused. Think of Naboth concerning his vineyard. When Jezebel has sent messengers to Jezreel that they must find false witnesses, and the Naboth was put to death. Then the instructors, then they have added the purpose of the oath twofold: to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. And then they have continued, for such an oath is founded on God's word, and therefore was justly used by the saints, both in the Old and New Testaments. Second thought, the biblical examples of the oath. God has also recorded oaths which he has sworn. Psalm 110 verse 4, have sworn and will not repent. Thou art priest forever after the ordaining of Melchizedek. Oh, what a precious and a profound oath. In Isaiah 54, the verses 9 and 10. And this is as the waters of Noah unto me, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I shall not be wroth with me. For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, nor my covenant of peace removed from thee, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. In the scriptures, we also read of oaths which were made by heathens. And for many a heathen, when someone would swear by his God, then they were given to trust that such a people were honest, that they would not dare to swear an oath in the name of their God falsely. We have the examples of Abimelech in Genesis 21 with Abraham, and in Genesis 26 with Isaac. In Genesis 21, then Abimelech, Fichtel the captain, they have went to Abram, because they were given to see that he was a favored one from heaven, that as God was richly blessing, and then Abimelech had a desire to make a covenant, and then Abram, there was still something that lay in between, because the servants of the Philistines had taken a well that first needed to be made even and straight before an oath could be sworn. But also in the scripture, then we have many examples of the church where they have requested an oath and where they have sworn an oath. Genesis 24. Then Abram has asked a servant believed to be Eliezer that he would swear an oath that he would never take a wife for his son Isaac from among the Canaanites, not to be yoked unequally together. Further, we have the example of Jacob has asked his sons to swear an oath concerning his burial, that his body would be buried in the promised land. Joseph has required an oath from the children of Israel concerning his bones in Genesis 50. Joshua with the Gibeonites in Joshua 9. Ruth, that precious Joyce, in Ruth 1 verse 16. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. And when we read the following verse, it is in the form of an oath. And then further, 2 Chronicles 15, King Asa made the people swear an oath concerning the covenant and concerning idols. The prophets have many times used the expression, as the Lord liveth. And there are many more examples. And now if we would come to the offshoots of the Anabaptist movement that are opposed to swearing on a religious oath, we have said they have separated concerning the way the Lord works in a covenant way between the Old and New Testament. Then they shall tell us in the Old Testament, then it was allowed, but not in the New Testament, because Christ has declared in Matthew 5 and in the book of James that our yea must be yea and our no, no. But also in the New Testament, then we find that the church has swore oaths. The Lord Jesus Christ, 25 times, then we read that he has stated, fairly, fairly, means truly, truly, amen, amen. That is, was in the form of an oath. A Caiaphas, when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and appeared before him, then Caiaphas has required of Jesus, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Son of God. And then Jesus, oh, with false accusations he was silent. But when it concerned his sonship and the work which his Father has given him to do, his Father's glory and the salvation of his church, that he was not silent. And then immediately he is given an answer of Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 verse. Then we read that he has written, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, and know that I lie not. Thus then it is clear that the religious oath, and that it is scriptural, many examples in the scriptures. And now in our third thought, how we must swear the oath. But let us first sing Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Swearing of a religious oath. When we may swear an oath, the biblical examples of the oath, and now thirdly, how we must swear the oath. In the Bible, and then we read both of an oath and a vows. Those words can be used interchangeably, but in the strict sense, then there is a difference. When we speak of vows, and there can be conditional vows, unconditional vows, and then it is more in private and in secret. And not publicly calling upon the name of the Lord to witness what we are promising. A vow can be made as an expression of gratitude. Think of Jacob in Genesis 28 at Bethel. Was such a marvelous revelation. This is nothing but the house of God. And then he has made a vow when the Lord would keep and bless him, he would pay a tenth unto the Lord. A vow can be made as a help against temptation and sin. There can be those vows made that if the Lord will spare, that we shall commit such a sin no more. And what a guilt, maybe more at the beginning than when the people is further on the way. Then a vow to be made to bind closer to the Lord. In question 102, may we also swear by saints or any other creatures? That question concerns the Roman Catholics with the place of saints. But this question also has value for our time. That we are careful, very careful, where there are organizations, can be unions and other organizations that ask us to promise. They shall perhaps not speak of an oath, but I shall give you a literal quote concerning an organization, not sure which organization it was, but my duty to the members thereof shall in no wise be interfered with by in an alliance, that I may now or hereafter owe to any other organization, social, political, or religious. Thus we may only bind ourselves to the Lord according to his word, and never bind ourselves and make a promise to any other organization that is contrary to the word of God. And now the solemnity of the oath. That is a calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely. Thus it is a calling upon the Lord in the special presence of the Lord, the one who only knows the heart. He bears witness, it is recorded. He shall reward when the oath is honored. and a calling upon to give permission to punish when I break that oath. We have heard out of Zechariah 5 of that flying roll, and that what entered the house of the thief and of family circles that would swear falsely. Thus the oath, and then we make a confession concerning the attributes of God, His omniscience. So we find in Psalm 139, the verses 1 and 2, His omnipresence in Psalm 139, the verses 7 and 8, then we confess, acknowledge that the Lord is just, almighty to punish, and that He is a God of truth. Then perhaps the thought could come, because concerning the oaths which are required, who was able to perfectly keep such an oath? Would it then be better, perhaps, that we would not make such an oath, that we would refrain? What do you think, congregation? What a privilege and what a blessing it is. And may the Lord grant it. When the Lord requires an oath, also in the church, holy baptism, public confession of faith, marriage, office bearers, that we become busy with the oath, that we are filled with fear and awe, and even with trembling, and that we are brought at the throne of grace. But what a privilege and what a blessing it is when there may be times. What a blessing that is for fathers and mothers in a week of preparation, when they are given to ponder, to meditate, to remember what an oath is. What a solemn thing in the sight of an all-knowing, everywhere present, just, truthful, and almighty God. But when there may be a time concerning that oath, that the Lord grants a holy desire to come in the midst of the congregation with a realization what sinners we are, unable, but yet a vehement desire to make a public confession in the midst of the congregation concerning us and our children, to publicly confess by the first time and by renewal, our Lord, to confess, Lord, I am an unclean father and mother, and therefore presenting unto Thee an unclean child, Oh, to answer a yes upon that first question, yet, that they are sanctified in Christ, they must be separated from all the world and strange religions, and therefore ought to be baptized. What a privilege it is when fathers and mothers in a week of preparation concerning that second question, a desire to, by renewal, make public confession of faith, to be given to answer yes, that we believe what is taught, the books of the Old Testament, the articles of Christian faith, that it is the perfect doctrine of salvation. Oh, to have a desire to confess the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, the manner in which the Lord converts his people. What a privilege and a blessing it is, notwithstanding the impossibilities, the shortcomings. Who is sufficient unto these things but to have a desire, the midst of the congregation, what the sacrament of holy baptism, when our child may receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon their little foreheads. And I repeat it with awe and with remembrance. Profound things, but still have a desire, a vehement desire, can even be a looking forward to the day, and to be given to publicly promise, all before an all-knowing God, Lord, thou knowest all things. Unable becomes more difficult and profound the more often that a father and mother may present their little child. But still, a desire to make that public confession, acknowledging that the Lord is the giver of all good, also the giver of this child. And that in the making of their oath, that such a father and mother with a yes may say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the vehement desire in my heart, that thou may grant thy help and strength, that I may instruct my child, my children, in the aforesaid doctrine, with a prayer for thy gracious help, with an eye upon thee, that the labors may be blessed, that I and our children may be included in that number. No, for a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely. Thus, what a fitting Lord's Day for parents, when the Lord spares and grants it, when the sacrament of holy baptism shall be administered. The Lord grant exercises to that end, and also examination for fathers and mothers, how they have made their oath. We have heard from Zechariah 5 that the Lord is not an idle onlooker. And now concerning the oath, question could be asked, but what if we make a wrong oath? Examples, David concerning the house of Nabal, Herod concerning John the Baptist, then of course there must be repentance, and that we turn unto the Lord. And now we read in the scriptures of a special oath which the Lord has made. Oh, we have mentioned that precious oath out of Isaiah 54, the verses 9 and 10. And we have stated it. Tis in our Heidelberg in the part of catechism. Oh, a blessing for the child in the part of gratitude to have that close and tender life. And then there shall also be much pondering over the vows. Ah, the child of God. They know of vows that they have made, but have not kept them. But now in the part of gratitude to need Him, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has kept the oath, the vows, already in eternity has finished the work which His Father has given to do. But there is also an oath by unconverted fellow travelers. Listen. The Lord has said unto the prophet Ezekiel a special message to the children of Israel. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, that's an oath, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? May that oath be laid before the Lord in this evening hour, that there may be many when they bow their knees. Lord, we have heard it. Thou hast no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And now I am such a one, unconverted, unable and unwilling. And to that end, may it please thee to stretch forth thy almighty arm and to convert me as thou hast converted all thy people. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of solemn instruction. May we be given to turn in unto ourselves. Ah, for those that have never made a vow to bind themselves to thee and to thy service. In secret, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly in their hearts, then they shall make that good choice and bind themselves to thee. We have heard of the solemnity of the oath. May it be for instruction, examination, and also for those parents that hope to present their child to receive the sacrament with the oath. Lord, do remember the parents with their empty arms. Uphold and strengthen. We may commence another week, are approaching the end of the year. 17 days left. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to spare and to care. Commend unto thee the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches, at work, at school, on the way, wherever we are called to be. And then by renewal, then we ask thee to remember us for the male members meeting. Wilt thou guide, wilt thou lead, and wilt thou bless. May the prayers be multiplied. Wilt thou bless the work of our hands. Keep us from harm and danger, from sin and temptation, and wilt thou now bring us safely to our homes, those that are sick, wilt thou grant healing, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 382, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, thou hast searched me and dost know. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. And what follows, Psalter 382, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.